New EPA rules to reduce smog and soot spewing from power plants would force energy producers to build new facilities or revamp old ones at a cost of about $200 billion over 5 years. Now, critics like Fred Upton, the new Republican chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio say that will hurt the industry, cost the U.S. jobs. But researchers at the Political Economy Research Institute at the University of Massachusetts say just the opposite will happen. They say 1.5 million jobs will be created. Mindy Luber is president of Ceres. That's an investor group that focuses on environmental issues. They funded the UMass study. She joins us. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. Happy to be here.
Well, and first of all, just to have disclosed it, you served as a regional administrator for the EPA under President Clinton.
Indeed, I did.
So tell us, these two regulations that we're talking about, what will they require power plants to do?
They're designed to make power plants safer, to emit less toxics, less mercury, less arsenic, less lead, less sulfur dioxide. They are rules that ask power plants to reduce their toxic emissions through new technology and, in some instances, through new power plants. Does that cost money? Indeed, it does. Does it create jobs? Absolutely.
Tell us how it creates jobs.
Number one, when the Clean Air Act was passed and during all the amendments of it, we saw a number of things. We saw new technology developed here in the United States that caused engineering jobs, design jobs, mechanical jobs. And these two new rules that we're talking about are able to create about 1.5 million jobs in 36 states across the country, in states that desperately need those jobs.
Doing the same thing? Because we understand that this $200 billion number that we mentioned is to design and build and install equipment between 2010 and 2015 that would be pollution controls and things like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. It's both pollution control equipment, designing it, manufacturing, installing it, and then it's operating and management of those new economic systems or environmental safeguards.
And the study looked at how many thousands of hours of work would be created and kind of took that number and distilled it down to how many people would be needed and, you know, and how many jobs, as you say. But here's some of the criticism. The Heritage Foundation says that you're not taking into consideration the jobs that are lost. The people who are working at, you know, coal plants are not the same people who are going to design this new technology. So is it, you know, a zero-sum game? That's what the critics say. You may be creating jobs, but you're losing jobs.
There will be jobs lost. Not a lot. And our hope is there'll be education and retraining for any job lost to turn people into understanding new technology.
Can you put a number on jobs lost, jobs gained?
A fraction of the number of gained. About 10%, I believe the study showed.
And how many do you think might be gained?
About 1.5 million jobs, 290,000 jobs a year for the next 5 years.
So a lot of jobs created, but that costs a lot of money, and there are concerns about that, too. Margot Thorning of the American Council for Capital Formation is one of the critics who says this is going to cost industry to create these jobs, and they're going to pass those costs onto the consumer, not just the individual consumer, but industry. That industry is going to have to pay so much more to hire and train these new workers and fulfill these requirements. And those costs will be passed on to other businesses, which will then have to lay off workers because of higher energy costs, or worse, move to another country that has low energy costs. So,
will there be a cost to the industry of new environmental rules? Modest, but yes, there will be. Will it be passed on? Likely over the long term, it will be passed on to consumers. But let's look at the facts. Percentage of overall income, energy is costing us less, home heating and so on, than it has over the last 10 years. We need to keep it that way. If there are going to be any increases, it ought to be when energy costs are relatively low. But the bottom line here is, for anybody to reduce literally the air that our families breathe to nothing but it is a number is not realistic. When we make our air cleaner, people get less sick. They lose fewer job days. People don't have premature deaths. We don't have the health care costs of rising asthma rates in every city across the country.
Well, we hear that argument, but the debate today, you know, everything is distilled down to jobs. And, you know, staying with that idea that if the costs are passed on to industry, industry will move. Industry has moved, or at least, again, Margaret Thorning of the American Council for Capital Formation holds up the aluminum manufacturing industry. You mentioned that the costs of power have gone down. Energy costs have gone down in the last decade. But even with costs going down, she points out that they were lower in countries like Russia, China, Iceland, and aluminum manufacturing moved its business there. She and other critics are saying that will happen more and more if industry has to have these costs.
Let's look at the 1.5 or 1.46 million jobs that we expect to come out of a couple of the new Clean Air Act rules. These are local jobs. They're at utility facilities. They're designing materials for utilities that have to, by the nature of what they are, be U.S.-based. These are not jobs that are going to go overseas. You can't run a utility power plant in Columbus, Ohio, from China.
You know, I'm thinking, too, that there's sort of a catch-22 going on here. We've talked about how community colleges started to just turn themselves upside down to retrain workers to work on wind turbines, adding classes because there were so many people who wanted to move from old energy technology into new energy technology, and they got trained. But the regulations weren't passed, and solar and wind industries have been flagging because there's been no push from the government for them, so all these people got trained for jobs that didn't come. You know that there's an attack on the EPA right now. You know, we're having this debate over jobs. You know, you say these jobs will come. These jobs will only come with regulation.
Well, you're right, and it is short-sighted in the extreme to think that government doesn't have a role to help build industry and the economy. Because government didn't act to regulate carbon pollution means that we don't have a price on that pollution, and we don't have the incentives to build a renewable energy industry. And look what's happened. That industry is going to China, it's going to Germany, it's going to Japan, and the United States is losing on the clean energy front. Deutsche Bank said the other day they have $7 billion to invest in clean technology for the next couple of years, and not one penny is going to the United States that will create jobs and build our economy because government didn't act. Putting in place the right incentives or the right regulations is crucial not only to building our environment, but to building our economy.
That's Mindy Luber, president of the Massachusetts-based environmental consortium CERES. The group funded a study from the University of Massachusetts that says that 1.5 million jobs will be added to the economy if two new rules from the EPA regarding power plants are enacted. Mindy, thank you.
Thank you.